Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. The preacher, as Solomon calls himself in this book. Solomon was given more wisdom than any other man other than Jesus Christ. It was a gift from God. He didn't ask for it. He did ask for it. He didn't ask for money. And God said, because you didn't ask for money, I'm going to give you money on top of wisdom. And he sought to learn everything that you could learn. Now, that's a pretty big goal for an individual. And we come to the end of this book where he is giving us the conclusion of his life's journey. And he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. There will come a day pretty much in everybody's life, as the Lord tarries, where, you know, you are not really physically sound anymore. If you've ever had an illness, and we all have, even if it's a common cold or the flu, and if it lingers on, you get very discouraged. Illness sometimes affects you emotionally, and you just say, oh, Lord, just take me home. I want to die, right? And so he understands that you should remember the Lord, your Creator, before those days come, and you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened. Here Solomon has some metaphors for the twilight years of life. There he's talking about your vision, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house tremble, what's he talking about there? When you shake. We've got a dog named Vina that she shakes, and Carolyn has compared her to, what was the actress, Katharine Hepburn, that had the shaking thing, you know. She calls her Katharine Hepburn sometimes. The keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, and the grinders cease because they're few. That would be your teeth, right? And those that look through the window grow dim, your eyes, and the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, your ears. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, you always wake up early. I'm starting to experience that now. And all of the daughters of the music are brought low, and they are afraid of heights. And you know how feeble people can get, you know, fear of falling. And the terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Well, that's a pretty depressing little paragraph, isn't it? But that's life. That is life. And he says, remember the Lord when you're young. I'm glad I got saved when I was 19. I'm glad while other guys were doing all these other things, I was going to Village Inn, drinking coffee and reading the Word before I went to work every morning. And so he says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the dust, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yes. He pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright. Words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads. They are the words of scholars. They are well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And Further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Now here's a man who studied everything. He wrote books on grasshoppers. We read Proverbs, and he studied the insects and the animals, and he drew all this. And he's basically saying, man, it's just all futility, right? And so let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. This is the sum of Solomon's life in two verses. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let's pray. Father, we have read your word this morning. We have read that the reminder that we will all, if you tarry, come to the place where we're afraid we may fall, where our eyes become dim. And we've heard the wisdom of Solomon in his conclusion that we need to fear you, that we need to serve you, we need to keep your commandments. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us as we glean wisdom from your word this morning to take heed on the conclusion of all things of life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. It's the whole duty of mankind, right? Fear God and keep his commandments. I kind of wonder sometimes about where the church has gone in the last days. I love the laugh. I love a good youth program that churches have, and you have to have fun things to keep the youth connected. I was a children's pastor. I've built cardboard ships with 15-foot masts on them, all out of cardboard tubes and things. And so it's okay to have fun. But the conclusion of everything is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And sometimes the church has become more of an entertainment than the hospital for the soul. And that's what we should be. We should be the hospital for the soul. So I got a few verses I want to take you on a little journey that I went on this last week off of this statement, fear God and keep his commandments. 1 Kings chapter 2, the first three verses, is when David is about to die. And his time is drawn nigh that he should die, and he's giving advice to his son Solomon. And we should duplicate ourselves in our children, if at all possible. They do have free wills. We should make disciples, as Jesus said. And on his deathbed, he says to Solomon, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn yourself. Now, David didn't have a scroll in his hands, but he almost verbatimly quoted from the Torah, as he said in the law of Moses. He's quoting the word. He has memorized the word. He has come to the end of his life, and he's quoting it to his son Solomon, saying, I'm getting ready to die. Be a man, serve God, keep his statutes, his commandments, his testimonies. He's telling him this. In Exodus 20 verse 6, it says, and showing mercy unto 1,000 of them that love me and keep my commandments. So we see repeatedly this theme that we need to keep his commandments. We don't want to ever get to the place where, because we are under grace, we allow grace to be an excuse for us to not keep his commandments. Amen. We are called to keep his commandments. And yes, we're not under the law, but his commandments aren't grievous. They're good, and they're good for us. They're so that we will be blessed. And so it is God's will for us to keep his commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40, and this is basically what he was quoting. You shall keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, that it may go well with thee. Everybody say that, go well with thee, right? What does that mean, go well with thee? So you will have, everything will be all right. You won't hit those bumps in the road as often. You won't have crisis as often. You won't have financial problems as often. You won't have sickness as often. Is that what that means, right? I think that's what that means, go well with you, right? I mean, you could either be distressed, discouraged, sick, you know, all these things, or it could go well with you. And that's the way we should want it. And so he says, keep his statutes, his commandments, so that it'll go well with you and your children after you, that you may prolong your days upon the earth, which the Lord your God gives you forever. Long life. Amen. Long, healthy life. Now, if it doesn't go well with me, I don't want a long life. If I'm miserable and sick and depressed and discouraged, Lord, just take me home. But they go together. If you keep his commandments and his statutes, you get long life and it goes well with you. Praise the Lord. God gave us our life as a gift. Amen. It is a gift that we don't want to throw away. We don't want to take for granted. But if we're going to have a life, why not have a good life and a long life? And the Bible says the answer is to keep his commandments, his statutes, and all of these things. Praise the Lord. And in verse 17 of Deuteronomy 6, he said, you shall diligently keep his commandments. So now he's not only telling you what to do, telling you how to do it. Diligently keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes, which he's commanded you. Now it's interesting that this is repeated so many times in the law of Moses or in the Torah. Over and over again he says this. You know, that usually means it's important to us when God repeats himself. Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, right? And so we see this theme being repeated all through there, that we need to diligently keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes. Now, the interesting thing about his testimonies, what are his testimonies? Well, they're the stories of how God delivered, amen? They're 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath, is a testimony of God's delivering power when a snotty-nosed kid can kill a giant that grown men are scared of. That's not David, that's God, amen? And David didn't take credit for it. He testified, the God that delivered me from the bear and the lion will deliver me from you. It's a testimony. And so we have these great Old Testament stories for us to remember the testimonies that God has testified in his word to us. And to do as David did and remind the devil when he's in our face. You remember that story with Gideon? It's going to be the same way again. Because I'm going to do what God wants me to do, right? And a giant loaf of bread is going to roll over your head, and I'm going to get the victory, right? It was barley or something, I think, in Gideon's story, but you get the idea. And so we want to diligently keep the commandments of the Lord and his testimonies and his statutes. We want them always before us. We want to remember them. We want to roll them over in our mind. And glory to God, that gives us a unbumpy road and a long life, right? Praise the Lord. Psalm 78, verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So the psalmist here is telling us to put our hope in God, not to forget God's works and his commandments. And again, God's works are God's testimony. I wonder what God's going to do about this. I wonder what God's going to do about the mass shootings in the world. We prayed. Did we pray this morning for the families and all that? Is God going to do something good out of it? Does God always bring good out of chaos? Is God not the author of good things and not bad things? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a stand. So our testimony and our focus, oh yes, it's a tragedy of these shootings. But we should say, what's God going to do out of this? I wonder how many of those families that lost loved ones are going to cry out to God and get saved. Because God is the author of taking bad things and making them good. Amen. And so we keep our eyes on God. We remember His statutes and His testimonies. And we say what the psalmist said, we've set our hope in God and we're not going to forget God's work. And we're going to keep His commandments. Deuteronomy 10:13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you this day for thy good. And so over and over again, it's like, man, don't you understand? Blow the dust off that Bible and read it. It's for your own good. It's for your own good. These things are for your own good. Deuteronomy 26:18. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be a peculiar people. He's promised thee that thou should keep His commandments. And that word avouched is to declare as a matter of fact or as a thing that can be proven. And so reading that again, the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be a his peculiar people. That means He's declared it as a matter of fact. It's not up for debate. You are His peculiar person. You belong to Him. He bought you with a great price. The devil's a liar. He loves you. He's got you in His hand. No man can snatch you out of His hand. Come on, church. You hear what I'm saying this morning? You are God's precious child. He has avowed you. It's a matter of fact that you are His peculiar people. Woo, hallelujah to God. And the synonyms for that avouch means attest, authenticate, certify, testify, vouch for, and witness. God is certifying you. God is authenticating you. God is testifying to all the angels. That's my child right there. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, now, we could go home right there, couldn't we? We could say, wow. God vouches for me that I'm His child. God attests that I'm His child. He certifies, puts the stamp of the Holy Ghost on me. I'm His child. But remember, we're talking about keeping His commandments, so I guess we should go on a little farther. Joshua 22:5, but take diligent heed to the commandment and the law which Moses, your servant, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to keep all His commandments, to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. That could be a life verse right there. You know, stick it up on the window or on the wall and pray every day, Lord, help me to diligently heed Your commandment, to love You, to walk in Your ways, to keep Your commandments, to cleave to You and to serve You with all my heart and all my soul, all my days. Amen. That is what Solomon said. This is the sum of everything that I've learned my whole life. You know, that epitaph of a person is an important thing. They've lived their whole life. They've done something you and I haven't done. They've come to the end of their life. And they have one piece of advice, and that's pretty good advice, to keep the commandments of the Lord. And God help, let's just pray right now. We're not done, but let's just pray. Lord, we need to keep Your commandments more and more each day. We need to study them diligently. Lord, You have made us Your child, and You have asked us, You have told us to love You and to walk in all Your ways, and to keep Your commandments with all our heart, Lord. And so help us, help our heart to be single-minded, single thought, single purpose, to keep your commandments in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this verse, Joshua 22:5, he says, but take diligent heed. And that's really kind of what we're talking about this morning. We've danced around it. It's how diligent am I at keeping the commandment of the Lord? Now, I don't want to turn this into a guilt trip or a works trip because, you know, we can't just live on the mountaintop in a white robe and sing Kumbaya all the time. We've got to go to work. We've got to do things. We've got to associate with people who are not saved and hear them take the name of the Lord in vain. But we need to be diligent in our pursuit of God. Amen. To do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God. You know, I think if you love him, that'll take care of most of this. One of the indictments of the lukewarm church in Revelation is that they lost their first love. And we got to be careful that we don't let anyone or anything take the center seat of our heart. We've got to make sure Jesus is there. Remember, he said to Peter, do you love me more than these? And, you know, you can put these in there in your own life and in things of your own life. And you have to do that sometimes. You have to say, have I gotten to the place where I love these more than Jesus? And if so, fix it, right? It's just a thing we do. It's what we do as Christians. Every day, every week, every month, every year, we reevaluate, we repent, we get back on the center of the narrow road, we lay some things aside, we change our priorities. We don't want to ever get to the place where Jesus says, do you love these more than me? Right? And so, to love your Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. All right. Isaiah, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave to him, and to serve him, and to keep the main thing, the main thing. So I just want to take bullet points on these from this verse again. Diligently heed, love the Lord, cleave to him with all your heart, with all your soul. Let's do it again. Diligently heed, love the Lord, cleave to him, all your heart, all your soul. Now, we know our heart is where our treasures are, and our soul is our mind, will, and emotion. So, treasures, mind, will, and emotion. Come under the authority of my command. Love God. Love Jesus more. Amen. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand or you turn to the left. And so you might say, Brother Roger, this is a sermon that I can't do. I know all of this. I know I need to serve the Lord. I know I need to love him more than anything else. I know, but sometimes I slip. And the answer is Isaiah 30:21. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And, you know, we're going down this narrow road, and all of a sudden this shiny thing over here catches our eye. Carolyn says, I hate driving with you when you get distracted, because anything that takes your eyes off the road, you start weaving out of the lane. and you know what? That's just the way we do sometimes. It's the nature of man on the straight and narrow road to see something shiny and begin to get out of the center. But the Holy Spirit says, hey, this is the way. Walk in it. We say, oh, what was that? Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, you're right. I need to get back to the center. And so, come on up, Nola. The conclusion of Solomon's wisdom. And I've said before, Lord, I wish I had Solomon's wisdom. I don't need Solomon's wisdom. I need to do what the last thing Solomon said. You know, that's wisdom. That's the fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord and keep His commandments. That's the sum of this man who knew all of this stuff, who came so despaired with life because he tried everything, all these women and all these things. He tried everything, and he came back to this one thing. You really want to have wisdom. You really want to have peace. You really want to have joy. You really want to have victory in your life. Then fear God, keep His commandments. And how do I do it? By the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for today, and thank You for each person here. Thank You for the victory that we have in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to keep Your commandments. We need to walk in Your statutes. We need to remember Your testimonies. Lord, and we forget them sometimes. We get distracted in the road of life. We veer sometimes, Lord. And You knew we would. You said the good shepherd would leave 99 and go after the one. And so here we are this morning, Lord, and it is our desire to keep Your commandments and Your statutes and Your testimonies, to fear You, to love You with all our heart and all our soul. That's our desire. And so our prayer this morning, Lord, is may the Holy Spirit of God operate in our lives to keep us on that center road. Help us to have ears that really hear and a heart that really discerns, so that our life will be, Lord, blessed and long and powerful because of Your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Descend upon your